So this past weekend, the 91st meeting of the U.S. Conference of Mayors was held right down the road in Columbus. And among the more than 185 community leaders in attendance is Findlay Mayor Christina Mern, who joins us in the studio this morning. Mayor Mern, thanks very much for dropping by.
Good morning. Great to see you.
We were just talking before we went on the air. It's kind of nice to only have to short drive to Columbus as opposed to hopping a plane for one of these things.
Yes, it was so nice. You know, everybody was like, now how far are you from here? I'm like, an hour and a half drive. It's great. It's very easy.
Is that, it's going to be kind of cool, too, to have all of these community leaders in the Buckeye State. I mean, obviously it's not Findlay, but it is nice to bring the U.S. Conference of Mayors into Ohio to see what it is we're doing here.
Yeah. It was really nice. I think all of the Ohio mayors kind of felt like we were co-hosting, and Mayor Ginther and his experience Columbus, they did an awesome job of, there's always kind of evening events showing off kind of the community and, you know, having everybody together, receptions and whatnot. But it was overall a great conference, and, you know, everybody, it is surprising how many people still just are not familiar with the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And I know we talk a lot about trying to advertise the Midwest and Ohio and Findlay and get our name out there. And it's, you know, folks just don't know. They think of just agriculture. And that is obviously a large part of who we are. But mm-hmm. we also have wonderful communities. And every state is so different. Findlay, in a couple of different states, we would be their second most populous city. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, I feel like a small city mayor, which I am, but also in other states, you know, we'd be a top dog.
Yeah, depending on, you know, it's all perspective.
It's all perspective.
And it's interesting you bring that up, because this is obviously first and foremost a gathering of city leaders from communities all over the country. But there's more to it than just the mayors, right?
Yeah, correct. So the U.S. Conference of Mayors is a bipartisan organization, though, because there are more liberal mayors in the United States, you know, that does tend to lean a little more liberal, much to my chagrin. But there are about 1,000 communities that qualify to be in the U.S. Conference of Mayors. That's cities over 30,000 or more. And just like any other, you know, association, the U.S. Conference of Mayors brings together mayors to have dialogue about best practices, advocacy, different things like that. But we also have a large business council of organizations that come in and, you know, talk about what they're seeing in their markets, what they see in their industries, things that communities can be doing. So they have large, you know, retail, you know, establishments and kind of that business aspect. We have service providers, waste management, you know, different engineering firms, all those different things. But then we also have a lot of governmental entities, especially from the federal government, that come in. And it gives us time, kind of face time, to talk about different issues.
So opportunities to network with, as you mentioned, government leaders and business leaders that may, who knows what that might lead
to. Definitely. You know, there's a couple of folks that I've gotten to know really well from different organizations that, you know, it's just keeping Findlay's name in the forefront of their mind.
Sure.
So when they're, you know, looking to open a business or looking to send a client to, you know, open a manufacturing establishment, that we have that relationship, and they say, oh, you're looking in Ohio, you know, Findlay's a great place. I can connect you with the mayor. Mm-hmm. And so that really, you know, building relationships is extremely key in any industry. But when you are representing a community that has, one, so much to offer, and two, so many different avenues of, I guess I'll say, evolution from a standpoint of bringing in businesses, you implementing different ideas, learning from other people's mistakes, I think it's really important to engage.
And obviously, the city of Findlay has a lot to bring to the table in that respect. You know, talk about the top micropolitan areas and so on. I mean, there's a lot to brag about
with respect to that. It's great to get out and tell our story. You know, we're able to talk about, you know, our economic development methods and how we work together as a community. You know, one of the big things that I shared early on kind of in COVID was how we had Hancock Helps set up, you know, that people could get on and find a lot of our resources, or our No Wrong Doors program, which is if someone comes to your organization as a nonprofit, then instead of just saying, oh, no, we don't help with that, instead you take them and you do a handoff to the other organization.
Right.
The other thing that, you know, I think is really important, and I know there's been dialogue about it here locally, is, you know, it, you know, everything they put out is liberal, or, you know, I don't know why you're engaging
with the
conference
in this,
of mayors, you know, where it doesn't make sense for you to engage as a Republican mayor. But it's the voice of mayors at the federal level, and it has great relationships with this, you know, federal government. And so if we don't engage, then it's definitely one sided. And so, you know, over the last couple of days when I was there, there was some policies I saw related to PFAS regulations, which is those kind of forever chemicals that are being detected in some areas' water. Now, we're fortunate, Finley, we're not detecting any PFAS. However, in some areas, because of a new rule that the federal EPA is looking to implement, it would be extremely costly for municipalities to process down to the level that they're expecting, which is 4 parts per million, compared to even in the EU, it's 100 parts per million. Hmm. And right now in the US, the requirement's 400 parts per million. So we're going from 400 to 4.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be unaffordable for communities. Instead of working with the entities that are producing it and the source.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, why are we putting this? Well, it's because governments are easier to, you know, regulate than businesses, but we need to. So I was able to be a part of that conversation and be a part of that. And then on the energy committee, of which I'm a member, was able to talk about, you know, energy diversity and the importance of investing in our grid. You know, we talk so much about electrification, which I have, you know, opinions on that. But our grid itself is a national security, you know, vulnerability.
Right.
And so, you know, I was able to advocate to have some language added in, and they were like, oh, yeah, we didn't think about that. That definitely should be in there.
Yeah.
So that was good. And those are just the little things, just being a part of conversation. You know, I'm definitely not afraid to share my opinion. I choose when to do it. But being able to be at the table and build relationships and be a different perspective, I think, is really important.
Yeah. In the economic development aspect of this, I do want to ask about this. Project Hat Trick has made some headlines here in the most recent council meeting. You asked for about $3 million to be allocated for a sewer project that would assist Findlay in attracting what apparently we are in the running for what would be a major economic development project. And I know that there's not a whole lot that you want to say about that project, but it did seem the council had, I don't want to say some reservations or looked at it cautiously. What was your thought?
Yeah. So my opinion walking out of Tuesday night's council meeting is that council is extremely supportive. You heard from a couple of the council members. How do we show that we are dedicating to do this while also making sure we have some safeguards? And I completely agree with that. And, you know, they talked about making sure, you know, could we provide them a letter of intent? How do we want to do that? So I think they're dedicated to the project. I think rightfully so. We're making sure that we also have those safeguards in place to make sure that if this project doesn't move forward, the money is able to come back to, you know, the different funds. Or that we have another conversation around, does it still make sense to invest in that area to attract other businesses?
Well, that was actually the next question that I wanted to ask. If this is allocated, this project is done, I mean, how committed would we be if the project doesn't come through for Findlay, that this is not just money thrown out the window?
Yeah, so it definitely is not going to be money thrown out the window, where we would not allow that to happen. We would be able to work through a process to, you know, there are some safeguards. Just because they appropriate the money doesn't mean it's going to be spent tomorrow. So I want to be clear on that. Two, this is definitely an area of opportunity, and I know we're vague on this still at this point in time.
Does council know
they
more
do.
Than okay? So they have all of the pertinent information.
Can I give a 1,000-foot view for people who are not typically involved in this? Let's take one step back. So the way economic development typically works, site selectors work with businesses. Businesses will say, "Hey, site selector, we want to find a property that we can do X, Y, and Z. We want to invest this. We need, you know, a service area of this. We need to be this close to a highway. We need this water and sewer capacity. We need this type of access." And the site selectors go out. That's one of the reasons that Site Selection Magazine is so important, is because that is the premier U.S., if not world, site selection magazine that we're keeping our name at the forefront of for these site selectors. Mm-hmm. And it shows that we're easy to work with. So as those site selectors, they start working typically with Jobs Ohio, which is our state economic development, and say, hey, we're looking in Ohio. Can you provide us some spots? Ohio, Findlay, all these different communities respond. They start dwindling down that list. Where we're at right now is that we have been notified that we're one of the finalists, so top two or three. And now it's looking at, okay, can we get the project done in the timeline that they're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And what incentives or infrastructure needs are needed to meet? Now, when we talked with council and I made the pitch and showed them all the information and said, this is what they're needing to be able to move forward with the project. Here's the benefit it's going to provide to us long term. Here's how we can do it. Here's the designs. Here's the cost. Here's the return on investment timeframe. When we looked at the return on investment timeframe based off of their information in a conservative fashion, the payback without any business income tax with being received was 6 years. And typically, you know, in economics, you're looking at, an ideal to be considered is 10 years. So we're definitely within that window.
Ahead of the curve.
Yes, we're ahead of the curve, and that's even conservative. And so what they're asking us to do at this point is just to help get the infrastructure done. It would be a road expansion as well as water, sewer, and storm infrastructure. The state of Ohio is also chipping in $1.1 million, I believe. And then ODOT is contributing, I think, $300,000.
Almost out of time, but a couple of quick questions. Can you tell us where that development might be?
I cannot at this point.
Okay. Within the city limits, within an existing plot or an existing area that you're looking at, or is this would be
share
new?
That at this
okay.
point in time. Sorry, I would love to. Well, as soon as we can, we will.
And the name seems to imply, again, can't say what it is, the name seems to imply that it also is in some way, shape, or form tied into the high-tech economic development that the state has.
So the state makes up really weird names, so I would not read into the name.
Okay. All right. When will we know what this is and whether Findlay is able to secure this?
Yeah, so ideally we'll know in July. But depending on any final things that the business may need to work with, we may not be able to make it public right away.
Okay. And then is there any sort of time frame for when this investment, when the construction could start or when this would be come to fruition?
Yeah. So we don't have the definitive timeline, but it would be, I would expect that they would be under construction, if not, near the end of construction, end of 2024.
Okay. Big deal. I mean, if this were to be announced, this would be a big, big deal.
Yeah, this is definitely significant. We haven't seen an investment like this for a couple of years. It's a great company. It would have above average wages. It would have diverse entry points for jobs. So I think it's a really great thing and continues to show that we have a lot to offer, and people are recognizing that, and we're excited to work with them.
And we will leave it there before I ask you anything else that you can tell us.
I know, sorry.
Again, Findlay Mayor Christina Merm with us this morning. Thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.